Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Tisha is the morning radio host at 95.5 and a staff pastor at Mountain View Community Church. I'm speaking of Tisha Falcon Layfelt. She's been walking with Jesus and in ministry for 27 years. She's a communicator and oversees different ministries in church. Her passion is to see young people and singles live in peace wherever they are in life. Do you have peace? Are you restless? In turmoil? Well, God sends Tisha in studio today to remind you of His peace. More than that, for you to experience His peace. Doesn't that sound good? Wouldn't you like that? Oh, I certainly would. And that's why we pause at the beginning of our show. To remind you, the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to bring you the peace of Christ. That you would know the love of Christ. He who loves you so much, my friend, that He died on the cross for your sins. He shed His precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried. And 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And the living Christ today, dear one, is calling you to Himself. If you don't know Christ, our hope, our prayer is that you would open your heart to Jesus. And dear one, if you are already walking with the Lord, well, we believe that you're going to be built up, encouraged, strengthened in our time today. Tisha is married to Jason Layfelt. And they have an 8-pound long-haired female terrier chihuahua named
Rufus James.
Rufus James. Tisha, welcome to our show.
Well, thank you, Danny. So blessed to be here.
Rufus James, how did you come up with the
I love
name
that
Rufus
you're starting
James?
There. I like that. That's great. Well, actually, when I got her out of the Humane Society, by God's grace, God graced us with this little being. And, you know, I named her Sunshine out of the Humane Society. She didn't have a name. So I brought her home, and we lived in a condo, found out from the manager, hey, you can't have pets here. Didn't know that. Actually, you know, you can have a rabbit, and you can have cats, but no dogs. So my mom took her, and my mom goes, I've got a perfect name for her. I go, Mom, her name is Sunshine. She goes, no, is it okay if I rename her? And I said, okay, what do you want to rename her? She said, Rufus. I want to name her Rufus. So I go, Mom, it's a girl. She goes, I know, but doesn't she look like a Rufus? Well, the reason why is that she wanted a security dog name. So that way, if anybody wanted to come in and try to still be, Rufus. Doesn't Rufus sound so scary?
You get that snarl look.
Uh-huh. Some 80-pound big dog instead of an 8-pound dog. So I threw in the James, and now her name is Rufus James, and she definitely is a security dog. She takes care of us. Every time anybody comes over, she just, and then she stops because she just really loves. My husband calls her Furry Jesus. Hmm. Furry Jesus because she protects and she loves, and that's all she does.
It seems to me like the Chihuahua, they have a very healthy self-image, those dogs. They see themselves as giants.
That's true.
As tigers and lions and powerful beings.
And they're little itty-bitty little being. You're right.
Well,
We need to do that, don't we?
That does say something about how you view yourself. Mm. Because... Mm. If they see themselves that way, it does deter me or certain others from stepping too far near them.
That's true.
Stepping over a line. Even though you know they're so tiny. Well, the lesson is, you know, let's see ourselves as God sees us.
Yes.
Tish, where did you grow up?
I grew up originally from Durango, Colorado, and then my mom moved us to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And from there, that's when we moved to Hawaii. So I would say definitely predominantly my time was in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And the smaller time was Farmington, New Mexico for a short bit. But my formative life was in Albuquerque.
What do you remember? Maybe one or two distinct memories that take you back and you cherish.
Yeah. You know, I was raised by a single parent, my mom, gorgeous mom. Gorgeous, in the heart as well as on the outside, but such a heart because she knew that she wanted. Her whole aim was she didn't want to see us bad people. She was like, "Okay, I want to see you good people." So I remember my mom, you know, as moms and as dads, we have the obligation to love your child. But my mom, I don't know how she did this. But she, you know, it was this like, I felt like my mom liked us and she enjoyed us. And we would play Monopoly for a month. We would wrestle. We would do water balloon fights. We would laugh. We would watch movies. And yet she worked. She had to pay all the bills. She had to pay for the rent and she had to pay for the food. And she was the only primary financial person to give. And so I just remember I have fond memories of us just enjoying life. And I remember, this is bad, but I remember, you know, I was raised Jehovah's Witness. And I remember we were going to church and my mom just kind of turned back and she goes, "Do you guys want to go to church today? We were in the car already." And I was like, "No." My mom goes, "Okay." So we went to 7-Eleven, got three burritos, went to the park and sat there in the lawn and ate the burritos and fed ducks and looked at the water and just relationship. Hmm. Even though a Jehovah's Witness is based more on religion and trying to do enough for God's love. With my mom came in and smashed us with relationship. And so I remember those times and I actually still miss them. You know, you're so young and they just go so fast. But I still have it. I have my mom living with us now, but my brother lives in Maui. And I just wish, I wish he lived here on this island because we are just really, really the true Hispanic kind of people. We just like being with each other. And if we're in the same house, we're in the same room. And if we're in the same room, we're on the same couch. And we're like an inch away from one another because we just like being next to each other. So, I just remember that.
The beauty of spontaneity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. True.
How necessary it is in relationships.
Yeah, it's true.
Some of us are more regimented and organized, and yet we long for someone to just mess us up.
Mm.
And it loosens us up. It opens us up. It takes us off track.
That's good.
But in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
In a healthy way, I think, in many respects. And wow, thank God for your mother. Tisha, how did you become a Christian?
Well, so I was raised as Jehovah's Witness, and I even went door to door trying to sell books and share about the tribulation, about one day that this is going to end. And I have two really conversion stories, but I'll just share the one, a little bit of the first one where I was, we moved from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Came to Hawaii, went to Lelehua High School.
Go Mules.
Go Mules. go Mules. I graduated in 1985. While there, you know, it was interesting because there were kids that thought I was local, and then the military thought I was local. So, I mean, the military thought I was local, and the locals thought I was military. So it's kind of Red Sea crossing, and it was just Tisha in the middle. I'm like, I need friends, or I want friends. And there were a few friends that came alongside me that I'm still friends with to this day.
To this day.
Yeah. Mm. So cool. But I remember seeing this young kid across the room. All the local boys, I remember, they would lean against the wall and they would check out the chicks as they walked by. And I'm like, I don't want that kind of guy. But the kind of guy that I looked at was a guy that was playing with cards with about eight other guys, kind of nerdy, and not looking at any girls. And I just went, I like him. Hmm. There was something about him I liked. So I told my girlfriend, who was a freshman and I was a senior in high school. That was my good friend that I'm still friends with. And I told her, she goes, do you like anybody? I go, oh, I like that guy that's playing in the with the cards over there. So 8 hours later, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, she's waving at me across Leilua campus and I'm waving back. And then as we're coming closer, I'm noticing the dude that I pointed out is behind her. And I'm thinking, you did not. And I'm like, okay, how can I hide? I had no idea she was going to go to him and tell him. So we exchanged numbers and he says, would you like to go to the beach tomorrow? And I said, yeah, that sounds good. I'll go to the beach. And so ended up going to the beach and there was 12 other people there at the beach with us. It was his youth group.
Wow.
So I walk, you know, down the beach and there was a girl that came up to me and she says, do you know Jesus? And I said, no. Do you have Jesus in your heart? And I go, no. And she goes, oh, you better or you're going to go to hell. And so instantly that night, no joke, I get on my knees and I didn't even know I prayed, but all I knew was, please don't put me in hell. And then my boyfriend and I, we would kind of argue a little bit because he was sharing with me about Jehovah's Witnesses and I was sharing with him about Christians and how can you believe that Jesus died on the cross and then you can just do whatever you want to do. And he was trying to share with me. Well, what happened is that he wanted to share more with me. And then, because I just basically did the life insurance, not to go to hell, prayer. So he got a gentleman from his church and myself and him went to Pizza Hut on Schofield. And that man shared with me about Jesus, the love of Jesus and the message of Jesus. So he said, would you like to ask Jesus in your heart? I said, yeah. So he pays a bill. We drive to the church at 9 o'clock at night. And we get to the church. It's locked up. He breaks into the church, turns on the lights, went all the way down to the aisle, to the altar. I got on my knees and I asked Jesus into my heart with tears.
A moment that would change Tisha's life. A moment that would change any life. It's amazing, isn't it, how God can use friends, the guts of a freshman friend who would go out and just say, hey, I think my friend might like you a little bit, or do you like my friend, or I don't know what she said, I just kind of made that up, but the boldness that it takes and how God uses moments, situations, people that we would not have ever expected to bring us to Him.
Amen.
And dear friend, as you listen to Tisha Falcon Layfelt today, Tish, share her heart, her story. Well, you have a story. And today God is orchestrating things that are far beyond what you or I or what we could ever really explain or maybe even understand. But He's orchestrating these things from a heart of love. Love for you. Love that Tisha has experienced, I've experienced, and dear friend, so can you. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, she said she had two conversion stories, and it might be perplexing to you to hear someone say that, but well, that's why you have to hang in there. Stay with us. Wait and see. Well, you don't have to wait and see for very long. Tisha is here to explain. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Tisha Falcon-Layfelt is here in studio with me. I'm so glad you're with us today. Look, if you're tuning in right now, you can get this program in its entirety for free. And I would encourage you, pass it on to a family member or friend. You can find it at The Good Life Hawaii. .com. Tisha is the morning radio host on 95.5 The Fish, Tish from The Fish, and staff pastor at Mountain View Community Church. Tisha, you were talking about your conversion story. I mean, that first one, I mean, hey, that grown-up took you and your boyfriend at that time from pizza down the aisle into the church, making your way in there, up to the altar, and you accepted Christ. But there was more. Yes. What was more?
Okay, well, you know, the more was, you know, I ended up saying yes. And then he and his family were in the military. And they had decided about a month, you know, later, they had already decided a couple months before I met him that they were going to move to Phoenix. And so I didn't have a church. I didn't have a church to go to, and so I ended up moving. I graduated from Lelehua High School, moved back to Albuquerque, New Mexico for about a year, and didn't have a church there. I guess I could have found one, but I had my best friend, and out of that, she introduced me to things that a person shouldn't be introduced to, such as, you know, drinking and other things. And a year later, my mom calls me and says, "You're coming back to Hawaii." And I go, "No, Mom, I'm loving it." She goes, "The ticket's already in the mail." And so my mom, who just loves and knew. So what happened is I ended up coming back to Hawaii. And I got invited to, about 6 months later, I got invited to a church called Hope Chapel, Kaneohe Bay. And inside, when I got invited, I went, you know, "I want to go, I want to go." And she goes, "Would you like to go?" And I go, "Yes." And then I said, "I'll pick you up." So she takes me on a Friday night. And I remember walking in. We were a little late. Worship was already going on. And there was a lot of people. As I walked through, I could see people's hands up in the air. And I hadn't experienced that before. And people were kind of swaying with the music. Mm-hmm. And I went, "Oh, it's that kind of church." So I got in the back and I watched this experience and I thought, you know, I think I'm going to go in the car and wait for her. For whatever reason, it just was a little uncommon for me to see that. I just wasn't used to it. So, but I remember looking over and I saw a guy who was singing with his eyes closed with passion. And I could see that he was singing every word. And I look over to the screen and look back at his lips and his screen and lips. And I went, "This guy's singing that song, but he has it memorized." Mm. Something inside of me just said, "I want that. I just don't want the lifting up the hands. That was a little too much for me." Now I do it all the time. But So I ended up saying to myself, you know, I turned to the girl and I just said, hey, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to go to the car and wait for you. And so as I was leaving, I looked around, the lights came on, worship was done, and I was leaving. I looked around, and this is what God used for me. I just looked around and went, wow, there's a lot of good-looking guys here at this church. I like this church. So I did the moonwalk, and I went back to my seat. Ralph Moore got up there and preached a message, and it was about 3 months later. After that, I loved the worship, loved the energy, loved the people, loved being able to connect with all the people. And about 3 months later, I felt a tap on my shoulder. And I remember thinking, I hope this guy's cute. It was Jesus. And he says, Tisha, will you love me all the days of your life? And I said, yeah, God, I want to love you all the days of my life. He says, not just on Sundays when you go to church or Thursday nights when you go to Bible study, but will you love me all the days of your life? And I said, yeah, I want to love you all the days of my life. And the next time I went to church, it was different. The worship was still there. People were still there. I just sat, they were behind me, and all I saw was one. And as I saw him, I would look around and I would say, I had people that were wondering how I was doing what I was doing. And I go, what am I doing? Well, you're in love. You're in love with God. I want that love. I want that fire. I remember somebody coming up to me and said, I had a fire like yours one time. 15 years ago, I remember giving my life to Jesus. I had a fire. That person made me think, I never want to lose this fire. I am going to stoke this fire. I never want to be somebody that says, I had a fire like that one time. And since then, it has been an every day, every week commitment to stoke my fire. There's been some times there. I must admit, I was building the ministry way back in the day, building the ministry and walked away a little bit, not from God, but just I wasn't stoking my relationship with God in the way it needed to be. So to this day, because of that, it's just this this urge and this commitment to every single day make a conscious choice to have a daily connection, an intimate connection with the Father.
Let's camp there.
Yeah.
Using your stoke the fire theme. Okay, let's camp. Let's camp around this campfire.
You're good, Danny.
Fire.
You're good.
And let's talk about what you do. I mean, first of all, I think it's comforting to a lot of us to hear Tisha, to hear you say, well, that there was some time.
Yeah.
There was a moment or a few moments when, well, the fire wasn't stoked as it ought to be stoked.
Mm.
That shows a certain level of just humanity.
Mm.
Just we all go through stuff in life.
Yeah.
But what have you done to stoke the fire?
Yeah. Oh boy. You know, there's...
I mean, you said 27 years.
27 years, yeah.
A long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's profound.
Yeah.
How do you do it?
Well, definitely, you know, hearing that person tell me, you know, gosh, my fire wasn't there. It's just, you know, worshiping him, not only in church, I mean, on my own. Getting on my face, getting on my knees and making that decision. You know, so many times people are saying, I'm battling. Or maybe even battling with the enemy. And I do believe that we need to contend at times. But for me, the contention is, will I live my life on my knees, surrendered? Because, you know, my first conversion was I made him savior of my life, but it was the second where I made him Lord of my life. You know, he came into my heart and ambushed me with his love that night when I was a senior in high school. But it was when I said yes on that time. You know, I remember Ralph Moore praying, and I prayed with him and prayed with him. It was only when I got that tap on my shoulder. But, you know, it's journaling, going to church, hanging out with people that love Jesus and are surrendered to Jesus, being committed to people that are going to mentor you and being willing to hear their feedback, going to Bible studies, leading Bible studies. You know, that there was that time that I was asked by Ralph Moore if I would start a college ministry. And in that, it was starting this college ministry that I just got so busy running to build that I was hiking, I was surfing. I was, you know, jumping on the trampoline, doing relationship with these people. But I wasn't forming this boundary of time where this is my hang time with Jesus, where I am going to make sure that I'm drinking from the well, not just trying to get a well for somebody and digging the well that I forget my own well. And so, you know, that was in 1997. And I came out of that dark time as a pastor at Hope Chapel. I came out of that dark time. I got to tell you, Danny, it was dark because inside when I realized that I was so busy building the ministry, I felt so guilty that I wasn't hanging with God the way that I needed to and really fostering my relationship with him, that there came a time where the depression came on me. Guilt. I felt like, you know, why would you want to use me? I wanted so badly to be always have you first. And now I had this ministry and these people that were first, and I was beating myself up bad to the place. I remember contemplating ending my life because I just felt like, why would you want to use me after I just felt, and there wasn't like any sin. It was just the sin of, like I said, beating myself up and feeling like I was just doing things on my own, and I'd left him, and I went to this, I went and did this pastor thing about like 4 days after this dark time, and I had already asked this person to go to have coffee. And so I get up in the morning and I'm depressed. I am sick, but I already made this commitment to go down to the Koa House in Kaneohe. I go down there. We have this time. At the end, we go outside on the bench, and I said, let's just say a little prayer, doing the pastor thing. As I'm praying, I start to hear a lady's voice. And the lady's voice is going, yes, amen, amen. And it's a dude that I'm praying with, just me and him. Mm-hmm. And so we open our eyes after we say amen. And the lady is about 55 years old, and she's kind of kind of leaning in, and she kind of goes, I'm sorry. She goes, I was leaving the restaurant and I felt like God was saying, I need to come pray with you.
Wow.
And I go, I'm looking at her and I'm thinking it's his mom or auntie. And she goes, is it okay? And this has never happened to me before, Danny. 1997. She goes, can I anoint your fingers with oil? So I go, okay. So I got my hands in front of me. She's anointing my fingers. These huge hands come up to my face and pull my face up towards this person, which was her husband. And he looks me into the eye and he begins to say, God loves you. He sees everything that you've done and are, and he sees how much you love him. I mean, he's talking to me, Danny, like I am somebody that has given their lives to Jesus, have been running after Jesus, have been building the ministry. He knows what's going on with me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am just weeping, not knowing that his daughter, who's 35 years old, another pastor and their wife are behind them in the Koa House parking lot, behind them praying, yes, God, thank you, thank you. Five people.
You talk about the word ambush. I mean, we talk about a holy ambush. A godly ambush. The Lord certainly has his hand on you because he knows, he knew where you were at that time. Mm. It's a reminder to us today, Tisha, that the Lord knows where we are. Mm. And dear one, as you listen to Tisha share her story, he knows where you are right now. He knows what you're going through right now. He knows if you're feeling guilty, if it's a heavy load, if it's such a load that you want to, in such a strange, mysterious way, just disappear, even end it. You're thinking thoughts you never thought you'd ever think or never wanted to think. Years ago, there was a song by Larnell Harris. The lyrics, I miss my time with you. Mm. Those moments together, I need you here with me each day. And it hurts me when you say, you're too busy trying to serve me. Oh, how can you serve me when your spirit's empty? There's a longing in my heart, wanting more than just a part. It's true. I miss my time with you. Oh, can you hear the voice of the Lord calling you? Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Entering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Amashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Now, let's say God calls you to serve him, and you're excited about it. You're moved. You're inspired, and you go for it. And God uses you to do things that you could never have imagined. And there's growth that takes place. So much growth that the growth, you wish it would have never come to it, but the growth begins to do you in. Mm-hmm. It becomes somewhat of a monstrosity, where it's more than you can handle. Mm. And the very essence of what got you there, the simple love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, all of a sudden is convoluted with so many things, good things. And yet, the most essential thing, the relationship with God, your relationship with God, my relationship with God, is no longer central. Mm. On the periphery, maybe, but it's doing us in. Have you ever experienced that? Are you there? Are you close to being there? Are you close to being over the edge? You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Tisha Falken-Layfelt is here with us today. Tisha is the morning radio host on 95.5 The Fish, along with Bula Eastman. And Tisha's with us. You can find out more about our program at thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can find out and connect with Tisha at facebook.com/TishaFalkenLayfelt. Tisha, take us back to this moment. It seems like such a straining moment, a profound moment indeed. But God somehow brought you back. What happened?
Yeah. You know, after, you know, God stopped five people, and I'd never had that happen before, even knew that people could hear God in that way. I mean, that was so bold to see this lady and her husband stop and even enter our prayer time, not just wait till we were done, but five people from Florida and to stop and tell me that God is for me and not against me, and that he has, you know, he's a God of second and third and fourth and fifth chances. 7 days after that happened, I cried like a baby. I just couldn't imagine God's hand on me like that. And then I remember just going, okay, I need to make sure that I am fostering, I'm having time with the Father where I'm hearing from him, he's hearing from me, that it's not just where I'm on my knees, I got my guitar, I've got my journal, and I've got my Bible. You know, I stopped watching TV, so that way every night there was this, and I wasn't married at the time, where it was just he and I communing and talking. And you know, like I said, writing and worship time. And I remember finding a book called The God Chasers with Tommy Tinney. That was my first book. I grabbed that book, and I'm like, it was like I was reading my own mail, where it was like, do you want to be a God chaser? Yes, I want to be a God chaser. And I remember, Danny, it was the craziest thing. I would be reading it and my hands would start to shake because I was so moved by the truth of the heart of a human being that could be so in God's presence, where it was just God loves you, wants to be with you and hang with you. Well, I want to do that too, God. And so my whole life changed. I remember finding a scripture in Psalms 119. It says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. I wanted to hide his word in my heart. I wanted to make sure that I feared God and I loved people. The other way around, I feared people and I loved God. I wanted to fear you, God, not just in this place where you're the boss. No, you're daddy, you're papa. And I want to live my life and surrender to you and not surrender to people. And so I started to do that. It was the craziest thing. Was about, I don't know, maybe 6 months later, the guy, Jeff Chavez, who I was mentoring at the time in the college ministry, it was time for me to give him the baton, and he took over Affinity, the college ministry. And Ralph Moore hired me full-time as the singles pastor. So now I'm not just doing the college, I'm overseeing all of singles. And what I had to do is I had to oversee Jeff, who oversaw the ministry. I oversaw the person for the middle-aged single people and the older-age single people. So all I did was meet with three people to make sure they were meeting with their people, that they were meeting with their people. I couldn't believe it. Beautiful. I mean, it gave me time to work on me and Jesus, to figure out who I was, why I was doing what I was doing, and just be bathed back into God's grace. Talk about grace and championing me in the time where I was weakest. You know, there's a scripture that says that when we are weak, he's strong, and he put me in a right place. And I can't thank Ralph and God and all the people, so many people that came beside me, Danny, that just were my mentors. And I look back at that time and I just sit there and go, wow, Lord, thank you. Thank you. And to this day, no joke, to this day, it is my my important is to make sure that I'm having communion time with the Father, where I'm hearing from him. He knows that I want him. He knows that I'm surrendered to him. I'm going to honor you, God. I want to honor you. I want to do these things to see you applauded or cared for or thought of. I just want to make sure that, and not to try to get him to do that back to me, because it's he does love me, and I know that. But it's like, God, I want you to know that you matter. You matter to me. So it's important to me to have that Jesus Tisha hang time.
There's a distinction. There's a distinction that you speak about, that you live, when it comes to spiritual growth, relationship. We always... It could be overused, maybe in some ways, relationship. But the relationship that you have, the fruit of your ministry is an outworking of the relationship, not the opposite, where I'm going to do all these things, and then it's the show of the relationship because I'm so busy. You put or give priority to your time with the Lord. So I'll ask, do you feel that it takes away from your productivity or that it increases your productivity? Some people might feel, I can only spend a few moments with the Lord because I've got so much to do. But some others may say, I've got so much to do, I must spend all this time with the Lord. I'm that much more of a sharpshooter.
Yeah,
I'm that much more precise and powerful. How is it for you?
You know, as soon as I sit down on my chair with Jesus, I have a specific chair. One of my faraway mentors, Beth Moore, said, you need to find a spot in your home that is your spot that you commune daily with Jesus. And so I had to find my spot that I knew this is my sit down hang time. As soon as I sit down at 5 o'clock in the morning, and sometimes a little earlier, because I have about 35 minutes that I sit down, and as soon as I sit down on that chair, I close my eyes, and as soon as I close my eyes, because I don't want to just grab my daily devotion and start reading that and reading my Bible and just kind of just doing. I want to take a moment to recognize Him being there with me, and that where I'm in need of You, and so as soon as I do that, it's just like it's like He expands the seconds, and the second it feels like an hour. And this next second's like an hour of, it's interesting because, you know, I'll kind of feel like, okay, I'm going to start journaling and I'm just going to start saying thank you. And maybe I might grab my daily devotion and I'm reading Charles Spurgeon my second time through, and I might read a little bit there. And as I'm reading, a line will pop out and I'll start praying about that line. And so that, you know, prior to being on 95.5 The Fish, I no joke, I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning when my husband would give me a kiss goodbye till 9 o'clock in the morning. I'd be, you know, out of bed at 6 to 9. I had 3 hours, dude. Mm-hmm. I had 3 hours in the morning to grab my coffee, grab my Bible, my journal, study, pray, think, walk around the house and declare, walk around the house and repent over this lie and repent over that lie, this offense, and forgive and give grace and give mercy, and sit back down and read again. 3 hours. And now I'm being asked to join the team and I'm going, okay, God, I'm about to give away 3 hours of my time early in the morning to be on The Fish. And it was hard. It was a struggle because I felt like that was such an intimate quiet. I got to watch the sun rise up and birds start singing, and it was just nobody else was awake. And it was just this crazy, amazing time. And that's why, you know, taking this, I knew that I had to find through the day, not just in the morning, but even after, to be able to go, God, I love to read. I love to write. I love to hear God tell me this is where I want you to go. So I'll do that in the morning, hang with them, and then in the afternoon, evening time, I'll go and read my book and chum with the Father more. But it's definitely something that causes more productivity in my being, that. That is an outward. It's the fruit. You know, we want the fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Well, that's something that you just don't muster up. It's because it's the out of being with Him, not the I'm going to go to the store and buy that, or God give me more. It comes out of that time. That's the evidence.
You see, you might say to yourself, "Well, that's Tisha. Of course, she can do that. She's on the radio." She's a minister. She's a pastor. She can do that. Well, she's sharing some of these things because it's for all of us to do. For all of us not a drudgery, not just a duty that we have to force ourselves through, but a time of joy, a time of peace, a time of intimacy with God. Hey, you know, she mentioned her husband. She mentioned Jason. When we come back, Tisha, let's talk a little bit about you and Jason. I mean, he's a mighty man of God, powerful, being used of the Lord in the ministry. We like to hear how you met. How did God bring you together? Look, we've only got one more segment, and it gets better and better with Tisha Falcon Layfeld. I'm so glad you're with us today. In a moment, you'll hear more from Tisha. Well, Tisha and Jason, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
You know, people are important. People are necessary in the body of Christ. You know, the Lord has given us all gifts. Different kinds of gifts. He's a God of variety, diversity, and at the same time, a God of unity. How beautiful, wonderful it is when the brethren dwell together in unity, in harmony, and in love. And Tisha and her husband, Jason, serve as pastors at Mountain View Community Church with Pastor Rob Gross. And what a precious man of God, a pastor to pastors. In fact, he has a new book out, right? You're My Bambino. You'll begin to hear more about that as time goes on. But Tisha, how did you and Jason meet?
Well, gosh, we're talking about 15 years ago, which I can't even believe. We've been married 12 years. So it's more like 17 years. Oh, I'm getting old, Danny. I'm getting old.
And I'm with you. We're both going up there together.
Yeah, you know, Ralph Moore was doing a conference, and I think it's called Leadership, some leadership conference, and it was at Windward Community College. And his pastor, Rob Gross, where he gave his life to the Lord at that church, I had asked him, hey, do you want to go to this conference? And so he said, fax me. Remember the fax days? Fax me over the information. So he faxes over the information of this conference that Hope Chapel is going to do. And I was part of that. He gets the paper. And as he's reading it, he's reading, you know, the different breakout groups. And he sees my name. And as he sees my name pops off the paper. And the Spirit Father falls on him. And he goes, all he felt was, you got to meet this person. So he writes to Rob and says, I'm going because there's this person. Now, I could have been married. I could have had four kids. He didn't know if I was 80 years old. But you've got to meet this person. That's all he felt in his spirit. So he gets there, and Ralph is introducing Norman Nakanishi and Danny, not Danny Yamashiro, but Danny
Lehman,
and a bunch of others, including myself, to stand up because these are the breakout group people that are going to be speaking. And I stand up, and Jason looks over and says, that's the name. That's the person I'm supposed to meet. So he looks over, and he just goes, oh. And he literally said that he bowed his head and said, God, he says, I don't know what your intention is, but I have intentions, and I don't want my intention to lead. I need your intention to lead. And so we get done, you know, I think we had to go to get donuts and coffee before the breakout, and I'm meeting people around the donut and coffee place, and he reaches in and introduces himself to me, and I don't remember. And so we do the breakouts. He didn't even come to my breakout. And about 3 days later, he calls Hope Chapel. I'm on staff full time there, calls me, and he says, hey, I'm Jason Layfell. I met you at the conference. And I got to tell you, I went, hey, how's it going? Instead of saying, I don't remember meeting you, I went, hey, how's it going? And so he said, you know, we started a kind of a friendship on the phone because it was like, hey, I'm ministering to single people at my church. You minister single people. And maybe, you know, I can bring my single people to your function or whatever. So 2 months later, literally 2 months later, we were just, this is before Facebook and texting and cell phones. I think it was dinosaur days. But during that time, I remember thinking, well, who is this guy? Because about 3 weeks later, he writes me a Christmas card. And I don't know what he looks like. I don't know. I don't remember meeting him. I've only talked to him 3-4 times on the phone. He writes me a Christmas card. And the dude writes in the Christmas card about 8 lines. And I went, who writes in a Christmas card? No one writes in a Christmas card. They use Merry Christmas and their name. No joke. I fell in love with this guy that wrote this card. I went, who is he? I kind of like him. This is kind of, you know, I've only talked to him a few times on the phone. Couldn't wait to meet him. And during that time, there was a song on the radio that used to go, you know, I knew I loved you before I met you. And so I would hear that song in elevators or, you know, in the car. So about 2 months later, he says, hey, I want to meet up, you know, and I'm going, yes, let's meet up. So we go to Starbucks Kaneohe. And it's such a special place now to this day because that's where I met him. And I drove up. When I drove up, he looked like he was like 100 pounds. And he was waving at me. And the big part for me was that he had this long hair, and they call it a mullet, in the year 2000. And as he waved, his hair waved in the air too. And I'm going, no. I'm in the car still. I'm going, that can't be him. I'm like, God, please don't let that be him. He's like, you know, I need somebody that's 200 pounds. So I look even smaller. That's what I'm thinking. I don't need somebody who's got a mullet and he's got these teeny little like round glasses and he's waving really big. And I'm dying. So I get out of the car and I'm going, and I, you know, we reintroduce ourselves to each other. And I'm thinking, there is no way. And if I had that Christmas card in my hand, it would have been ripped up in tiny little pieces in the car, and it would have been confetti, because that's how where I thought of it. Well, you know, he ended up asking me to a black and blue ball dance, not dance, but like a for the zoo was raising money, and you can wear blue jeans or black. We ended up doing that. That night, I fell in love with him because he ended up sharing with me his journey with God. A restoration of healing, of freedom, strongholds broken. Mm. Something that you don't normally share with somebody when you first go out with them. And he's just being vulnerable, open, humble. And I was so caught in our conversation, I didn't even hear my name being called, that I won something. So caught. He took me home at a reasonable hour. I got out of the car, got into my little condo, and I went, I think I'm in love with this guy. Even though he has a mullet, I'm still in love with him. It took some while because God began to show me where there was anger that I didn't know. There was hate that I didn't know. There was bitterness that I didn't know. Mm. You know, my mom was, you know, raised as a single parent, but she was involved with, I had different white men there's one particular white man that was in our life that treated my mom bad, treated my brother bad, and myself in a way no one should ever treat a human being. So at 6 years old, I remember going, I'm never, ever, ever, ever going to marry someone who's white. Never. Well, Jason is white. Mm-hmm. And so the six-year-old little girl comes out of nowhere and says, don't you remember we weren't going to marry a white man? What are you thinking? So we had to contend with our, you know, I say we because my husband became beside me, to contend for my best friend's hate, bitterness, and anger. That I'm and a judgment that I made on all white men, that all white men were going to do this. And he walked with me for 5 years before I said yes on that altar to him as his wife. He walked with me patiently. He sat with me. He crawled with me as I crawled through this. I got to tell you, God has beyondly went beyond my expectations. There was a night while I was still single and I was kind of jostling if Jason was the one. And it was one of those nights that I had my guitar and my journal. And I put my guitar down, wasn't even praying about Jason or anybody, put my guitar down, got on my knees, my head hit the ground. And all I heard was, there'll be none other husband like Jason. That I've set the two of you apart for a special ministry. There's none other father like Jason. And I've given him a special love for you. And I cried, Danny. I said, no, 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 no. And he goes, do you trust me? And I said, yes, but no, 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 no. And Jason walked me through. God walked me through. And that I can shatter and destroy my best friends. Bitterness, rage, and anger left me to the point where one day I left a ministry session that, you know, my church now, Mountain View, had, Healing Hearts. And I left there. And I remember falling on my knees around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I started to cry and weep for that man who hurt my mom and hurt my brother and hurt me. And I remember crying for him, and I said, God, who hurt him? Who hurt him to the point that he hurt us? And I wept with compassion for this person that I could not do. I could not do that. That had to be God that helped me cry for this white man that I knew for sure I was never, ever going to attach myself.
There are things that God will do through your life, my dear friend, as you listen today to Tisha. He's going to do it through your life. And as he does, he's going to prepare you by doing something in your life. And the voice that you will hear, the word that he will say, in many respects, will be this. Will you trust me? Will you trust me? He will say that to us. Can we together respond? Lord, yes. Yes, Lord. Like Tisha. Yes, Lord. I will trust you. Tisha Falcon-Layfeld, thank you.
Thank you.
For sharing your heart with us today. Your heart and your life.
Thank you.
We greatly appreciate you.
Thank you.
My dear one, I hope you've been encouraged today by the heart-to-heart sharing from Tisha Falcon-Layfeld. You know, God's timing is indeed perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a presentation set up just for you there. And to help us with your financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Tisha Falcon-Layfeld. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.